Well, good evening, folks. This is Gordon Martinez. The show is called American Honor. It's brought to you by RBN. The call-in number is 1-800-313-9443. Give me a call. The show is all about exposing corruption, talking about corrupting deeds that our local and state and federal government have pulled on us. The thing that keeps the corruption exposure idea alive and well is bringing it up, remembering it, talking about it, and reminding the public that this still hasn't been resolved. These instances haven't been resolved. The people that are responsible for it are not held accountable. And this is where the rubber meets the road. Keep talking about it. Keep bringing it up. Maybe somebody in power will say, hey, we got to shut these people up one way or the other. And the only way to do it is to hold the people that are accountable for the corrupted deeds they've done. If not, no one's ever going to have any trust in the government. Nobody's going to have any trust in our leaders, because everything they do seems to be a lie. That's very disturbing. The latest discussions that we've had on the shows seems to be centered around all the crises that we've had. And it just seems like more and more every day, and I mean every day, that somebody's coming up with something new that wasn't discussed before, wasn't brought up before, and we've got plenty to choose from. One that we haven't discussed in a while is the San Bernardino incident, where the vehicle was crashed and a couple of suspects were caught, and then information started coming out about combat-clad individuals that were seen in the area. And, you know, this all makes perfect sense, because last show, we had an individual call in that lived in Rancho Cucamonga and was giving me the business, because I wasn't as skeptical as I've been before about other crises that have occurred in the world. But the concert massacre over in Manchester, England. Now that one was probably the most believable, I guess, toward me, but I had a different reason for it being believable. It associated innocent little girls being slaughtered by these bombers, and I definitely could relate to an innocent little girl being slaughtered by some maniac that I guess needs to make some kind of statement. So, and that gave the credibility to that particular instance. Well, the caller from Rancho Cucamonga, California, lambasted me for immediately accepting the bombing in London, Manchester, London, and he's right. I associated with something that I could see and smell and touch, and something that affected me almost 39 years ago. I saw a 4-year-old little girl dressed in her nice white dress. She had makeup on, red shoes, and her drunken, stupid father decided to use her as a target in a Russian roulette game he was playing with his revolver. Well, he found the mark and shot her right in the chest, right through the heart, killed her instantly. And I was one of the first unit's police units on the scene, and needless to say, it left a rather dramatic impact on my brain. It was not a fun time. I can still feel the dry retching that I was subjected to, and had to leave the scene. I just couldn't believe something like that could happen. But it did. And that's what I immediately associated when I was told that innocent little girls were slaughtered in that bombing. And so why wouldn't I believe something like that could occur? Because I saw it. I saw it with my own eyes. Well, I was right. But I'm back on track now. So I'm still skeptical. I don't know what to believe nowadays, folks. My instincts tell me that there's something wrong here, that we are being subjected to an enormous and diabolical lie, just like we were in the Twin Towers and Building Number 7. So what I can't understand is why nobody wants to talk about Building Number 7. Building Number 1, Building Number 2, World Trade Center, and Building Number 7. Building Number 7 is another office building, 47 stories, that not only held the BATF, their offices, but Secret Service and FBI and various different federal agencies. Except there's a little problem with Building Number 7. One, nobody wants to talk about it. Two, and I've heard that there's a 70-foot billboard that talks about Building Number 7 to everybody. But nobody wants to talk about Building Number 7. It's not even mentioned in the official report for the Twin Towers collapsing. They didn't even mention Building Number 7, and then that building collapsed also. I had the times for when Building Number 1 collapsed and Building Number 2 collapsed, and Building Number 7 collapsed. Well, how can this be? How can people not even mention Building Number 7? And then here's the big question. Was anybody killed? Was anybody killed in Building Number 7? I don't remember anybody talking about Building Number 7 completely collapsing, just like the other two. And it was a controlled demolition. I mean, come on. Let's be realistic. Since when in the history of building fires has fire ever melted steel? It just doesn't happen, folks. Now, if it's assisted by something like thermite, whatever it's called, yeah, we can have that. But just airplane fuel? Sorry, folks. It just doesn't compute. Well, it looks like we've got a caller. Okay. Rob from Chicago, are you there?
Yes, Gordon, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. What's on your mind?
A couple weeks ago, I did hear you talking about the Manchester and how much you believed it happened, and then I heard the caller after that asking you why you believed it. I was asking the same thing at the time, and I'm glad to hear you say today that, you know, you now took a step back and gathered more information about it and come to the realization it's another one of the phony plays that the people of darkness will say, along with the corporate media, try to, you know, make us believe something that happened that did not. You know, and sadly, right. It's sad that it continues. And it tugging at people's heartstrings, just the storyline. Oh, they went into a concert. There was younger children there. It doesn't matter if they're girls, boys, mother, you know, mothers. Doesn't matter. These were, technically, you got to think they were Christians. You know, technically, you got to think they were young. There are future generations there. You know, people that will never live their lives. The people that will never, you know, give birth to more children, you know, to carry on generations. It sounded so believable. You know, at first, of course, you start to think,
it did.
Oh, my gosh, look what happened. Yeah, look what happened. Oh, my gosh. So, you know, even me, even somebody that's aware of September 11th, somebody that's aware of Sandy Hook, somebody that's aware of, you know, World War II and World War I, how all this stuff happens, even someone like me is still going, oh, my gosh, this happened. Then we got to step back and go, wait a minute, did it happen? And that's the problem, because they, one of the games they're playing is to confuse us to such a point to where we're asking, we're questioning everything to a point to where, you know, did it happen?
Including
did it happen?
Ourselves, Rob. You know? We're questioning ourselves, too.
Well, absolutely. Well, yes. I mean, we question ourselves in our place in all of this, you know, and our how much are we attributing to it. You know, if we believe the lie, we are contributors to the lie. You know what I mean? So
right.
We're responsible for our amount of things. You know, we're responsible for, you know, the growth of these corporations because we've been their consumers. You know, we're responsible for our government doing what they do because nobody's really taken a solid, successful stand against them to ask, to, you know, if nothing less, ask them to stop, if, or for nothing else, getting a legal manner to get them to stop. But I,
you know,
let me digress
Robert,
for a minute. Have you heard?
I've contributed my most of my career to asking questions. That's what I did for a living. I asked questions in order to get to the truth. But who do I ask now? Who do I ask to find out what the truth is about these things? I don't know what the hell to believe, what not to believe, what I should believe, and what. Why is it that they want me to believe something like this? What is the main goal? What's the motive?
Well, thankfully, you're not the only one that it affects, and you're not the only one that has to ask the questions or is responsible for the answers. We are fortunate to have people out there, and I was going to ask you, have you heard of Jim Fetzer?
Negative.
Pardon me?
Negative. I have not.
Okay. Jim Fetzer, he wrote a book, he writes books, and he's deep into unraveling these Manchesters, these Sandy Hooks, these 9/11s. He gets into the truth. He's really big on unraveling what happened with JFK. And he works with a lot of other people that do the same thing. And together they come together with their research and findings, and they unravel the truth as best as they can. And
how do you spell his last name?
I believe it's F-E-Z. It could be one Z or two, but E. Now, you can get a hold of some of his works through the Rents Radio website, and you'll find links to his PDF for There Were No Deaths, No One Died. You can get the PDF version there,
okay.
And the best PDF version you're going to get is off the Jeff Rents or the Rents Radio website. And he also you can also find through there about September 11th and about Boston Marathon, which is a surprising one, but they've unraveled it. And Manchester bombing, I'm sure he's going to have one for that, but they proved Manchester was entirely fake.
Look at San Bernardino, that caller that called in, that lived down there, and he remembers them having drill after drill after drill in the same location.
Right. Right, right, right. Orlando, is it, or did he say for San Bernardino or Orlando?
San Bernardino.
The gay nightclub, I believe. Oh.
No, there was one guy that talked about that, but he also talked about another guy talked about the San Bernardino one. But, yeah, okay. The gay nightclub. I mean, my God, I'm watching this video, and there's two yahoos that somewhere found some kind of stretcher, and they got some guy that looks like he's injured pretty bad. And they're walking to and from right and left,
in front of the camera wondering what they're going to do with this guy. Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, how phony is that?
Mm-hmm. And fortunately, so, there's a lot of those caught on film where they're like filming the incident, and then there's blood, there's no blood, and all of a sudden there's blood. You know?
Right.
Supposedly body parts were blown apart, but there's no blood, and then in the next frame, all of a sudden there's all this blood. You know?
Right.
They do this thing, these faux pas all the time, and thankfully they do it in such a manner because they're trying to rush these things out. You know?
Right. But, whoever comes out with the first lie has the most exposure.
Right. Well, just keep that in mind. Just go to the Runch Radio. If you ever listen, I don't know what kind of time you got on your hands, but listen to Jeff Rentz's radio show. He has some amazing, he's got lots of historians and lots of people, researchers that come on his program, and they uncover so much truth and so many facts, and it's, you know, sometimes they'll talk about the UFO and you know, stuff like that, but, you know, a lot of it is current events, government. And he is one sincere, genuine show that is about telling stuff that is real and truthful and factual rather than, you know, giving into some conspiracy theory.
Right, right. Well, I hope the public that's listening to my show realize that I am a hands-on type guy. I lived it. I was in the system. Even though at such a lower level, you know, just a police officer, but I live the system. And the way you learn the system, the way you learn to be a police officer, is from the street. You don't learn it from the company. The company can't train you to do things. They can't train you. You learn it from the street. So I'm not learning it from, you know, other people's work or other research that people have done. I have seen it. I have seen it. I've touched it. I've smelled it. I know what it looks like. It's just like Sandy Hook. 26 people allegedly were killed, but there's no blood, and nobody was injured. Again, everybody's dead, right? So you can't interview.
Man, if you listen to the Jim Fetzer talking about Sandy Hook and other people that are aware of it too, it will blow your mind. That school wasn't even open. That school was closed because of asbestos.
That's correct.
They didn't know what to do. The school was closed. Nobody had been going to school there, period.
Didn't they condemn it about 9 months earlier?
What was the last part?
Didn't they condemn that school for asbestos 9 months earlier?
It was condemned, absolutely.
And
another person,
what are they going to do after they condemn it? They're going to let kids back in to school for a little while?
Well, again, there was nobody there. The school was condemned. No children were going to school there. There was no work orders. Agenda 21 Radio, Paul Preston, he was just talking about it the other day, because Paul Preston was in the school system, even a school superintendent for like 41 years, and he does Agenda 21 Radio. I'm not sure if you heard of him, but he's pretty great, too.
What's that, Agenda 21?
Yeah,
I'm writing this down, by the way.
Yeah, Agenda 21 Radio, and he does off of, you can find him on Red Talk Radio.
Red Talk, okay.
Yeah, or agenda21.com is his website.
Right. You know, one of the problems that you know, we have, people like me and you, obviously, and these others, is the word proof. Okay, now you could talk a pretty good story, but when you have evidence in your hand, and how do people like us get evidence in our hand to prove one way or the other whether anybody was killed or not killed or what the hell happened? We have no proof.
Well, thankfully, like I said, we're not in this alone, because if it wasn't for Jim Fetzer, Paul Preston, Jeff Rentz, you know, and excuse me if anyone gets offended by this next name, David Duke, and so on, we would be relying on corporate media.
Is David Duke the KKK guy?
Yes, but that's all blown out of proportion from what I found out.
Oh, really?
You taking a break? You going to hold me on?
Yep. Yeah, stay on.
Right, I'll be here. I'm supposed to get a raise next week, you know that when I won't. Working for a living, working for a living.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
If lonely night surrounds you.
Show is called American Honor. It's brought to you by RBN, and we have Rob. Rob, you still on the line?
Yes, sir.
You know, I really appreciate you calling in and giving me this information about these other individuals that are, let's say, a part of the cause. You know, when I talk about hands-on stuff that I have seen, I've witnessed it, I've investigated it. It's just like, I don't know why this one came to the scene, probably because you mentioned the Boston bomber. If anybody has ever seen what a pipe bomb, a big one, loaded with gunpowder, can do to a human being, I always like to refer to this one case where this guy was going to fix up a pipe bomb under this other guy's car. Apparently they had fallen out of disfavor with one another. Anyway, while he was fixing the pipe bomb underneath the car, it detonated. Well, the guy that was putting the pipe bomb under the car, he got scooted out from underneath that car and got knocked down the street about 75 yards. And he ended up underneath another car across the street. And it took a while for us to kind of figure out what the hell happened, because it looked like he was fixing that pipe bomb under the other car. But it shows you the type of things that can really weird occur. And unless you've seen it, unless you've touched it and smelled it and whatnot, when somebody tells you about something like that, it's kind of hard to believe that this occurred. I worked a case where this guy was drunk and he had his left arm out the window. I don't know what the hell he was doing, but he got a little too close to the center line and it tore his arm off by a car going the opposite direction that was kind of skirting the center line too. Now, until you actually see something like this, and of course the cars are quite apart and you don't know what the hell happened. You got blood all over the place. You got people hysterical. And when you finally figure out what really occurred, you just shake your head and you can't believe it. So when I hear something about another crisis, okay, and that something weird occurred during the crisis, I can absolutely relate, just like I did with the Manchester thing. I can just immediately relate to it and believe that it's true. And that's basically not the case nowadays, apparently. And that's where I guess I'm getting my frustration from. What to believe, what not to believe, and why is this even coming up? Or is it just somebody's imagination? So, anyway, Rod, would you do me a favor? Would you jot down my email address?
Yeah, I was going to ask you. Do you have your website or?
Yeah, I'll have one soon because I'm running for sheriff again for Clark County, Nevada. But my email address, okay, is copper71 right?
Copper71@hotmail.com. At Hotmail.
Mm-hmm. So it's Charlie.
Yeah, what I'm going to do is I'm going to use that to relay a bunch of websites and other stuff that I might have that you would suit you well.
That's what I was hoping that you'd do. Yeah, I was hoping that you'd do that. So anyway, we have another caller on the line, and thanks for calling. Call in next week. Alan from Texas, are you there?
Yeah, Gordon. I heard you say something a little earlier that I'm kind of proud that you do. You called yourself a police officer, you know, and if that was
normally
still the case,
I used to call myself a law enforcement officer or a police officer, or the my favorite one is a peace officer.
Well, you know, police officer. Yeah, people who know me would find this kind of hard to believe, but, you know, back when they were police officers, I actually, you know, had respect for, you know, a few of you guys. But, mm-hmm. you know, when it became law enforcement, you know, a law enforcement officer is, especially with what today's world has become, I find it real hard to have much respect for that title. If you can hold me over, I'd like to talk with you a little more.
Absolutely. Stay on the line.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutraMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutritious meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutraMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com. NutraMedical.com for the whole family.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
Several years ago, I was developing a very severe situation. I called it my flippy heart. It was doing not good things. And I did not want to go to a medical doctor because I just knew they would give me a cover-up pill. I didn't want to get onto that sort of thing at all. When I learned it was garlic and cayenne, and cayenne is a healer. It is a wonderful herb. I said, I think I'm onto something here. I'll tell you, I wouldn't be without it. It did wonderful things for me.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com. Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Hi, this is Gordon Martinez. My show is called American Honor. It's brought to you by RBN. And we have Alan from Texas still on the line. Alan, you still there?
Yes, sir, I am.
I want to address that comment you made about the difference between a police officer and a law enforcement officer and a peace officer. See, I used to identify on a regular basis being a peace officer. But most people thought, oh, your peace officer must be a constable or something, or maybe you're one of those rent-a-cop types or whatever. That's what peace officer means. Well, that's not what it means. I personally like that denotation of being a peace officer rather than a law enforcement officer, so I agree with you. You know, I saw something the other day, and maybe it's just because of my age now. I'm 66 years old, and I've been a police officer for 39 years, believe it or not, in the trenches with the blood and the guts and the beer. And the other day, I saw an old movie on the TV. It was called The New Centurions. It's an oldie, but a goodie. And what it did, it touched on the personal lives on what that business, the nature of the beast, does to you. And you know something? I couldn't watch it anymore. It was too real. It was too real life and realistic. And I could not watch it anymore because it just tore my heart out to see what actually happens. But the only thing I hadn't experienced in 39 years of law enforcement work was to have a partner die in my arms. Never had one of those. Had plenty of them shot, and I got shot myself, but that's another story. It's a political one. I think the administration, when I was running for sheriff before, they set me up and they shot me in the leg when I was riding my motorcycle home about three doors away from my residence. But anyway, you wanted to continue our discussion about the terminology of police officer, peace officer, and law enforcement officer. And I agree with you about the law enforcement one. That one has a little bit of a harsh reality.
Right. You know, and you being a police officer that long, you probably had the respect of some people in your community because you were fair and equal with them. You could use a little common sense in what you perceived around you, you know, the situations you were in. It wasn't just, you know, if you don't go according to code, you know, then, you know, you're no good. I don't know. Right. I don't know what kind of fear. I was wanting to ask you because, see, I was during you know, early '80s, mid '80s. I was a bartender, and I worked in a fairly respectable place. You know, if one of our patrons got, you know, too drunk, well, you know, we'd take his keys from him. And you know, when I got off work, I couldn't tell you how many guys, you know, I drove home if they had too much because I knew they couldn't drive. You know, sure. But most people that left our place, you know, they would have registered something. But you know, as far as I can recall, I worked there for 10 years, and none of our patrons, you know, went out and had an accident and killed a bunch of people. You know, if they got to that point, you know, we wouldn't let them drive. You know, we'd take their keys, and when one of
absolutely.
Us got off, we'd drive them home.
Mm-hmm.
When did you see it start changing? I mean, you were on the inside. You had to see, you know, when it started
changing,
from when you could use some common sense. Pardon?
Right. I started in 74, and I would say late 80s.
Yeah.
Late
80s,
you didn't hear of a police officer driving anybody home anymore.
Yeah, you know, I saw it start coming in about 85, 86, and I've sat back, and, you know, since I've come out of my stupor and become aware of what's really going on, you know, the situation, or at least more of the truth, you know, that I've been able to find out, was, you know, it was basically after, like, Rex 84, you know, they had the continuity of government exercises at Fort Chaffee, Arkansas, up there. And I happen to live, you know, in Fort Smith, which is right out, you know, Fort Chaffee's just right outside there. And, mm-hmm. And so I kind of saw it coming in then, where, you know, if the cop caught you a little tipsy, you know, he'd say, well, you know, where are you going? Well, I'm going home. It's just right, you know, a couple blocks up, and they'd follow you home and say, don't let me catch you like this again. You know, there was a little, you know, they'd run you a little slack, and then, and like I said, you know, simply because somebody has a badge on and has a title, you know, that doesn't give them my respect instantly. I try to give everyone common courtesy. But respect, you know, is something to me that has to be earned. You know, I don't just instantly give my respect, you know, to someone because of a position they have or a badge they're wearing. It's the person behind that I try to, you know, give respect to. And if
absolutely.
That person's a bad person, I can't do it, you know.
I'll tell you, what happened is that the officer that would use his discretion and drive somebody home or assist them home, or get somebody to take them home, or whatever, that officer would be subjected to discipline if he was found out by his supervisors.
Right. Yeah. And
that's what happened. That's
so
what happened.
There's no. Yeah, it got to be where there is, you know, no, leniency for, you know, human just. But frailties, you know, it just became just policy. You know, you give no quarter, you know, if you don't follow, you know, the rules exactly, you know, everything became a corporation, you know, where if you go against, you know, any rule of the corporation, no matter what it is, you know, you're subjected to a penalty too, even if you're trying to be a decent person out there.
Right. Now, here's one for you that's going to be hard for you to stomach. During the mid-80s,
early 80s in L.A. That's when they were losing their chokehold, and there was a big outcry that too many black suspects were dying because of this chokehold, and the officers were holding it too long, and then they finally realized that it was the ingestion of cocaine, and then if you were to have a chokehold utilized on you, you had a higher risk of not waking up. Well, LAPD went through a deal. They were so fed up with people complaining about everything they did, didn't matter what it was, that they had a motto that was called, "Look away and work another day." If you can believe that, okay? Now, you know what that means.
Yeah.
That means if you see a crime, don't get involved. Just look away. Look away and keep your job, because it just didn't matter how well-intentioned or how thought out it was. There was always so many complaints, and, of course, they used the race card a lot. And then after a while, you just got fed up. People don't understand when they do that to your police force and you disrespect them and you don't honor them and you don't trust them anymore, the person that suffers is the public. The public suffers.
Well, I'll have to agree. You know, the respect has to go both ways. Yeah, that's definitely. I mean, that's just the moral degradation of our society in general. You know, and we all know that it's not just come about by happen chance. You know, it's kind of been egged along and everything. And
right.
But getting you know, also commenting on what Rob had to say. You know, about these the false flags, all this stuff like Jim Fetcher.
Yeah.
If you read his book, No One Died at Sandy Hook. I mean, being a police officer, if you look at the evidence he presents, you know, there is no way that you can even think, you know, that after you've read what he presented and sit down and logically think about it, there's no way you can think that that was a real event, you know, because, another one is, you know, the Orlando shooting. Say you've seen lots of gunshot wounds. Now, Gordon, how many gunshot wounds have you seen where someone's trying to help a friend that's been shot or something like that? That isn't just covered and splattered with blood. I mean, I've hunted since I was, 6 years old, shooting deer, big animals and things. And, there is no way you can even approach that scene without getting some blood on you. And, the little guy carrying his friend back and forth, saying, "I had to pull my bandana off and tie it around his leg and stuff it in the hole and everything," and there wasn't a speck of blood on this guy,
So
I instantly knew that was just, a big load of, cow excrement.
And maybe for a fact or not, doesn't there like about 30 pounds of pressure behind a bullet hole? I mean, you get punched with a bullet, you got 30 pounds of pressure that's squirting blood all over the place.
Yeah, it's everywhere. You know, I accidentally shot my dog in the face one morning, and, I was trying to help my friend stay alive here, and by the time I got him to the vet and everything was settled, I was covered with blood from head to foot, and there wasn't
you couldn't have
found an inch of me that didn't have blood spots on it.
Pretty much. Well, anyway, I got some other callers. Call in next week and get some other insight in there. Okay, Joel from Wisconsin, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, Joel, what's on your mind?
Well, you brought up that we don't have any evidence to prove that some of these incidents are fake, false
flag. Right. What I mean by evidence is physical evidence in your hand.
Right.
Go ahead.
I agree with you. We can't get our hands on the physical evidence, but what we do, the two things that we do have, is the reputation of the people that are telling us these stories. That's one thing we have. Their reputation is terrible. They've been lying forever.
Right.
The other thing we have is their story itself. When they tell stories that are so impossible to believe, then that is evidence that they're lying. For instance, if they tell us that hollow aluminum airplane wings can shear off steel beams, that's impossible. Or the guy that allegedly got his legs blown off in the Boston Massacre, he allegedly has legs blown off, and then he never passed out. He never turned white. They took him away in a wheelchair. And 6 weeks later, you can check this out, 6 weeks later, he was totally recovered, and he threw out a pitch at a Red Sox game. Six
oh,
weeks
shit.
Later. No, no kidding. No. Guess who was pushing his wheelchair? The same guy that pushed it away from the scene. I mean, stories like that are just too impossible. Now, that is evidence. Their own official story is evidence.
True.
And
somebody could argue, in their defense, of course. But what I'm after is good, solid, direct, physical evidence. Now, find me some of that. Find me some of that, and I will make sure that it is never forgotten.
Well, I don't think we're going to get that. Because how can you find evidence when it's a fake story in the first place, you know? You have to look at it.
Here's a little piece for you. And this is just a little trivia. That's something I noticed. In front of Fire Station, I think it's 26, in Las Vegas, there's a memorial to the September 11th. Okay, there's a chunk of a steel beam that's embedded in a big block of cement. And it's in front of the firehouse. I'm sorry, I think that's the wrong fire station. But it's right on Las Vegas Boulevard and Russell. Okay, anybody can see it if they want to. Now, they've sent me to enough bomb schools. I used to be the bomb guy. Anything had to do with a bomb, I used to go to it, okay?
Yeah.
Well, one of the things that I learned in one of these schools down in New Mexico, the New Mexico Energetic Materials and whatever they called it. Anyway, it's one big, massive complex that police officers from all over the world go to so they can examine, what bombs look like, how they react and how they react to materials and everything else. Well, one of the things that a high explosive does to steel, and it's published documentation, is that it jaggeds the edges of the steel. The edge of the steel, whatever type of steel it is, it's very jagged, okay? And it's not clean. Now, there is a chunk of beam that they have that jagged edge sticking out of the cement, sticking out of this big block of cement. And I'm looking at this, I'm going, well, now, isn't that interesting? There is a piece of physical evidence. Allegedly, this chunk of steel is from the site. And there's a chunk of steel that has that jagged appearance. And you just can't mimic this thing, right? I mean, it's done from high explosives. And there it is, right for everyone to see, but nobody sees it. It's like it's hid in plain sight.
Absolutely.
So if you ever get a chance, just have an idea. It's right off of Las Vegas Boulevard and Russell Road. And every time I drive by it, I just kind of smile. And I say, there's my physical evidence. But to convince somebody that that's what happens when you apply a high explosive product to steel, it jaggeds, makes it very jagged markings on the steel. And you can't mimic that.
Okay, so, as an explosives expert, I'll ask you a question, because this is allegedly what happened at Oklahoma City bombing. Allegedly, the truck bomb went off in the street and blew up that building, if you recall. It blew out some
yes, I did.
Concrete pillars inside the building. But in between that truck bomb and the pillars that it blew out inside, there was still some wallboard exposed that had not been blown away. Now, as an expert in explosives, could any way the truck bomb bypass that wallboard and go inside that building and blow up some pillars?
You know, highly unlikely. I'm not going to say that it could never happen, but I would say it's highly unlikely. They sent me to a special experiment, and this was, I think they only used like 1,500 pounds of AMPO, okay? That's that fuel oil and the pearls from fertilizer, okay? The They put it inside of a Winnebago, only 1,500 pounds. I think that was like about a third of what was used in Oklahoma. And what happened was we went back about 4 miles, and I took out my old Sears and Roebuck VCR, and I filmed it. And it was about, I'd say about 3 miles away from ground zero, where I finally found a chunk of that Winnebago that was about the size of a quarter. Okay, that was one of the bigger pieces. Now, this is everything, the engine and the wheels and everything. Okay, it completely disappeared. So then as you get closer, the pieces get even smaller. Okay, and then we're talking about pistons and everything else. And this is the same stuff, but only a third is powerful, right? So for that wallboard to have not been touched, like I said, it was pretty unlikely to get my drift.
And when you get enough of them highly unlikely, then you have to look into it further, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thanks for calling. Okay, we're going to take a break, and we'll get back with Doug.
Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep, a catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
This is Dr. Bill Deagle of the NutriMedical Report, 12 to 3, Monday to Friday. Call-ins are welcome to the show. You can order at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's I-C-A-N-G-E-T, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Hey, this is Gordon Martinez. The show is called American Honor, and it's brought to you by RBN and my friend and former BATF agent, Doug Fantasy is now on the line. I was kind of hoping he would call in a little bit earlier because I want to ask him some important questions, and it goes back to the examination of the World Trade Center. I want to say bombing, but World Trade Center incident. Doug, building number 7, did you guys have a office in that building?
Boy, I thought it was in building 2. But I mean, there were so many of them in there. I remember being in, I couldn't even tell you, you know, how many there were.
Right.
I know the office.
You know how, do you know if they were federal offices that were in building 7? I mean, was that just another federal type building?
It was, I'm not sure, you know, I thought, like I said, I thought the ATF was in building 2, or tower 2. But they were, you know, the Secret Service had offices in there. There were quite a few that rented space.
Okay, the Secret Service was in building 7 or in building 2?
That I don't know.
Okay. Would it be safe to say, and I don't remember exactly what the time frame was, but building number 1 fell down at a certain time, then building number 2, then
right.
building number 7. Do you remember what the time frame of building number 7 was?
Oh, boy. That had to have gone down probably after 2 went down, because you had the,
right.
the buildings were just collapsing, and they were just, and the debris was going everywhere, and I think that's how building 7 got affected.
You think that
they
the
were all,
shrapnel and,
I mean, it,
and the debris
yeah.
from those buildings knocked building number 7 down?
I think so, because it wasn't as tall as the other two. There was much more debris just pushing out. Remember, when you
yeah,
have
it
buildings
was 47.
That size going down, when you have buildings
yeah.
those size going
it
down,
it wasn't all that
the
close
air.
To, yeah, it wasn't all that close to building number 1 and building number 2, though. Have you heard of or aware of any fatalities in building number 7?
No. No, I was not. Boy, I'll tell you, you
Does
know...
Does that sound a little
I don't
unusual?
Know if they had a count. Remember, they never found... There were people they never found. And the only thing,
right.
you know... And they were pulling fingers out of the debris, and they were trying to do DNA tests or fingerprints or something like that on them. So,
Right.
I think obviously the first 2 buildings were the major ones.
Right, right. I know that the secrecy within the federal government regarding, important stuff that went on that day, and that you're bound by keeping that secret, I think. I would imagine so, because the federal government has a pretty tight leash on their employees. Supposedly, anyway. So, why is it that you would think that no one wants to talk about building number 7?
I think because of what happened in the first 2 buildings. It was so horrific. That's what they focused on. I mean, you can see any news cycle. And you'll see them pick out one particular thing and ignore 3 others.
Right. Right, I understand that. Well, hopefully next week you can call in a little bit earlier, because I want to expand upon that conversation a little bit about building number 7 and why wasn't it even mentioned in the official report.
I will look into it, and I will talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Thank you, my friend.
All right. Take care.
Well, folks, there you have it. Hopefully next week we're going to get into this a little bit deeper. But how come a lot of subject matter is not being discussed? So we'll see what happens. And anything I can say?
Extendivite. A 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.